You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today are Yaya Perez, Robert Garza, Justin Davidson, and Mike Brooks, and they are with the UTEP Forensic Speech and Debate Team. Robert and Justin are captains of the team, Yaya is the secretary, and Mike is the debate coach. Gentlemen and lady, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you for having us today.
Glad to be here.
Now, tell us a little bit about the UTEP Forensic Speech and Debate Team, because a lot of people have heard about you all, but they're not really sure what you all do. Let's start with you, Justin, since you're the captain.
You know, our program seeks to kind of advance communication, particularly through speech and debate, which is a form of interpreting both literature and understanding how we communicate through speaking, how we persuade individuals, how we think, and how we present different topics. For our program here, we compete across the country in different events with speech and debate to engage in interdisciplinary communication. And I think it's something that helps not just the individual competitor, but those who watch the program have the opportunity to kind of learn and experience how communication takes place.
Now, Robert, last week you all had a showcase, and you care to tell us a little bit about what people saw at that showcase?
Absolutely. We featured performances of interpretive events and prepared speaking. I was partially responsible for a debate which took as its central issue the question of whether or not in a truly globalized society we need borders. And I think one of the things that UTEP Forensics, specifically our speech and debate team, has grown to do is to highlight the way that narratives and specific kinds of language create public awareness around issues that are politically important to groups in places like the border. And I think that this movement suggests a broader tendency of the politics of the new youth, namely that people like the participants in last week's debate are more likely to advocate for social changes which represent the kind of hashtag advocacy that has come to characterize the way that they reach out to their peers. And so the debate was probably best characterized by a combination of the serious sort of old school style of what parliamentary debate is in view of these very new themes.
I guess your coach would probably be best to talk about this, and you all can chip in. But I know that he and I, talking about other things, we find that a lot of today's students do not read. They do not keep up with the news. You're a special group. You have to do that in order to compete in something about such as immigration reform or anything like that, because if you do not know anything about it, you're going to get squashed. And that's why the presidential candidates or anybody else, they're coached, and they might ask you this, they might ask you that, and there's no way that they know everything about everything, so they quiz them and they quiz them and they quiz them. So, Mike, on that, because we have a different generation now and they rely a lot on social media, does that affect the way you coach?
Well, it certainly does. I remember back in the old days, we used to have, before every meeting, it was collections of newspaper articles. Really, the message boards were in their foundling stages and we didn't have a centralized collection of media. One of the issues I come across is a lot of people don't care for an in-depth discussion, and that's one of the unique things that you'll find on the debate team, is they're willing to investigate a little further than the 10-second blurbs that you can find on standardized media representations, and there's the ability to discuss and hash out potentialities, and that we try to be objective. It's a worthy goal. Oftentimes, internal type ideas prejudice or preface our concepts, so it gives you a good sounding board. You have oppositional viewpoints, which is always important in a debate because we never really do know what side we're going to take until moments before the competition.
So, like a journalist, you're supposed to know all sides of the issue because you don't know which one you're going to be asked to discuss.
Correct. I mean, generally what happens is you get a rotation, and then if you begin the morning advocating a certain premise or policy, then you're pretty much assured the next round is going to be negative. The same topic, oftentimes thematically the same type of ideas, but you can never be assured until they give you 15 minutes to prep and 5 minutes to get to your room, so you have 20 minutes to conceptualize an argument before you're advocating that position.
About this program, Mike, some people aren't sure if it's a volunteer thing, if it's a class that you have to take. Is it a major? How does one become part of the team?
Well, we are a practicum, and so it is 2 credit hours. We need students to enroll, certainly, so we can get access to fee and funding as far as university travel goes. It is a grade, but it's such a combination of factors that we use to determine a finalized grade. I mean, it is a team-type competition. We certainly look for fraternity. We're looking for educational advancement. Certainly, we have some people who are going to be more proficient in an area than another. We don't use the same rubric for someone who has never seen speech and debate compared to someone who's been competing throughout high school and most of their college career. So it's a combination, really. I mean, it is a legitimate classroom and environment. We do have grades assessed at the end of the semester, but your ability to advance is certainly using a more unique rubric.
But if you are part of the team, you do compete, like the athletic teams, against other schools, correct?
We do. I mean, we have, the university requires certain academic standards for travel. I think ours are a little more academics focused than that, but it is a university-sponsored event when we travel to other places, and it's sanctioned by the university, and we're guided by the university's travel policy guidelines.
And of course, just like everything, we watch a finished movie, we watch a finished PowerPoint presentation, all the stuff that goes in behind it, but there's always somebody behind the scenes, and in this case, Yaya Perez, she is the secretary, so basically you are the backbone of the entire team, correct, Yaya?
I am. I basically assign assignments. I'm also in charge of all the social medias that our team carries out. For right now, for the debaters, we are all assigned a certain category regarding what to research in order to leave off some of the room for all of the other debaters. Depending on what each person is more interested in, we all research. For example, for me, I research health and science since my major is biomedical sciences. Justin, you have assigned...
You know, I study multidisciplinary studies. And so for me, I particularly look at the more humanities element, the more social construct involving how individuals are engaged in this particular topic. For example, in the country of Ukraine, you know, we see how it affects more of the common individual and less more of the government aspect.
From there, we get all the information in class and we start discussing it. We start actually putting in our opinions and what we think about every single issue, and everyone should be having that research every single class in order to create a database, in order for us to keep up with current events a lot easier.
Now, when you talked about social media, I assume that you have a Facebook page.
Yes, we do have a Facebook page. It's UTEB Forensics, and we also have a group, UTEB Speech and Debate. Anyone is welcome to join. It's an open group. We also have an Instagram, UTEB Speech and Debate, and you can see all our fun pictures of everywhere we go.
Robert, tell us a little bit about your specialty and, you know, why you're so interested in this.
Sure. I think I'm one of the students Mike describes when he talks about someone who's been doing it for a long time. I started as a freshman in high school. I found that the idea that discourse controls policy, controls our conceptual leverage over significant problems in the world, that one of the most accessible medium we have in our relatively short lives that integrates us into a collective that might be called society is language. And I thought that debate was an opportunity to leverage a more abstract sense or appreciation of that process. And I found over time that that wasn't the case, but that it was an incredibly fun thing to do, and that it was informative, that I would get an opportunity to see people like Justin advocate both for and against their own views, which prior to the experience of debate were significantly more rigid. For example, Justin loves fracking. He wants to frack everything. And specifically Ukraine, right? It's another opportunity to frack. But helped Justin prepare arguments both for and against hydraulic fracturing as a way of improving a regional economy or as a way of demonstrating the viability of international cooperation over energy security. And I think that this is something that debate makes possible, but the interaction between someone like Justin, who has Justin's distinct set of political views, and my own would not be possible if not for forensics and debate.
Now, Justin, you talked at the beginning here about interpretive readings, and nowadays it seems like audiobooks have just taken off. And it, what used to be, you know, certain readers, now movie stars are reading, celebrities are reading books. And I don't know if it's the lack of jobs in Hollywood or the fact that, you know, it attracts the books. But there are certain readers that are just excellent. Tell us a little bit about interpretive reading and how you mold yourself, how you become that person. And what is the difference between that and just reading a story?
You know, I think a lot of these people are fun to listen to in audiobooks because of the emotion they convey in telling the story. And that's what helps to capture the listener. And I find that in particular with interpretive events, you've got a retelling of a tale from a movie, from a storybook, for perhaps a poem. And retelling these stories with effect, perhaps with an accent, kind of helps to encapture the listener and bring them to where they feel like they are actually a part of the story and not just reading simple words on the page. And so as you train for these events, you train to practice both your voice and the inflection you use, you know, those particular points in the story where you accentuate a particular moment and where you bring your voice to a high level, a low level, or where you shift an accent to tell a story from one perspective to another, for example, one character in the story or another character in the story, an old woman perhaps. You would need to really listen for a moment maybe to how an old woman would speak and train your voice to speak in that way. And then perhaps a young child or perhaps someone with a country accent versus someone with an accent from Russia. You'd need to train your voice by listening to others who have spoken that way and learning to mimic your voice. And so for interpretive events, we find that we spend a lot of time on those particular moments to accentuate and develop our own ability with those accents. And that becomes very capturing for the listener.
I think an extra element that might distinguish an audiobook performance from dramatic interpretation is that in dramatic interpretation, you have the opportunity to use physicality to convey an additional sense of context. And I've seen some wonderful performances in a generation very familiar with the work of Robin Williams. It's impossible not to see equally talented physical techniques that incorporate elements of storytelling that are simply not possible via audiobook. But there are so many layers to their technique that to someone who doesn't compete in those events, like me, there's this overwhelming sense of wonderment that has to correspond to the precision and intention of their movements as part of a larger sense of what a text means. And the thoughtfulness and focus that goes into building a program over the course of a year leaves a finished product that is hard to imagine outside of simply watching a person move the way they do.
You're absolutely right, because the body movements, the nonverbal, is very important. And when you're watching somebody moving their hands or their facial expressions, you can't see that on an audiobook. Audiobook, it's basically like NPR. NPR, they use a lot of sound to establish a scene. And sound can establish a lot of scenes. In fact, silence is a sound. And Orson Welles used that in War of the Worlds, where he said, stop. And he did like a 30-second silence, and everybody was freaking out because, like, what happened? And in radio, 30 seconds is a long time. If people are interested in signing up for the debate team, for the forensics team, or one of these classes, I know that we're getting ready for the summer. In the summer, do you all offer some of these classes?
We don't have classroom time scheduled during the summer, but we do have a couple events that we're planning on the week of May 20th. We have an invitational debate that we'll be attending. We're planning on summer workshops. I'd like to have people contact us through Facebook, perhaps, or through our campus organization webpage. But it's really important to begin training quickly. We have, certainly in the fall, we have competitions starting very shortly after classes begin, and it's just imperative to have some idea about what you're looking to develop for a competitive season before the first of the semester.
So. Now, is our audience going to have an opportunity to see you all in action again, either this summer through the workshops that you have with, I assume, children, or in the fall?
Well, we do plan a social event. We don't have our location finalized as yet.
But that would be all over the Facebook page and all that stuff.
We are trying to maintain accurate promotion of our events on Facebook. The idea debate should be coming to campus right after finals, in fact, and then we will be announcing to the community a workshop schedule program.
Well, thank you all very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with members of the UTEP Forensics Speech and Debate Team. Yaya Perez is the secretary. Robert Garza and Justin Davidson are the captains of the team. And Mike Brooks is the debate coach. Thank you all very much for being with us here.
Thank you, Louis.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.